Cincinnati Opera presents the world premiere of Fellow Travelers, which opened on June 17th. The story of two men caught in the lavender scare that targeted gays and lesbians during the 1950s is being widely covered in the international press, and additional performances have already been added. I'm so pleased to have composer Gregory Spears, librettist Greg Pierce, and director Kevin Newberry here. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
What inspired the choice of Thomas Mallon's 2007 novel, Fellow Travelers?
Well, this was a project that we all felt very passionately about, and some of us knew each other in advance, but we all came together to do this opera, and it's a wonderful story of these two men and this love story, men trying to have a relationship under the most difficult of circumstances, being persecuted and under fear that their lives will be destroyed if the truth is told about who they are and how they feel.
Well, Greg Pierce, as a librettist, you had to scale back that novel and choose the scenes that really heighten the drama and convincingly develop characters. How did you work through that process, and what scenes really stood out for you?
Thomas Mallon's brilliant novel is many, many scenes, and he writes a lot of historical fiction, and it's very detailed and incredible. And what we had to do was really focus on the love between these two guys and give some historical context and McCarthy and what was going on in the 1953, but really focus on the emotional complexity. I'm a playwright primarily and really interested in shifting dynamics in relationship. I read a lot of two and three character plays and just how do things keep unfolding. And I was just really intrigued by these two guys, Tim and Hawk, who are in love.
And you have multiple roles. Characters take on multiple roles in this opera, right?
That's right, yeah.
Well, Gregory Spears, as the composer, you've composed several other operas, and I understand that the score is influenced by your interest and love for early music, especially the songs of the French troubadours or the trouvères.
Yes, I've always loved classical music, but more recently, in the last, say, 10 years, I really got excited about early music. And so in each opera that I write, I like there to be some sort of dramatic tension between the styles of music. And so the interaction of the characters is somehow given a sort of musical, metaphorical, dramatic structure as well. And so in this piece, I mix two styles, which I really love. One is minimalism, and the other is, as you mentioned, the music of the troubadours in particular. And the idea behind that is troubadour music is really about longing and impossible love and all these things that certainly resonate with the story. And yet it's another way, it's kind of a counterintuitive choice. But what I like to do is musically see how that sort of delicate, florid music can arise out of a more mechanical, minimalist music. And to me, that's sort of a metaphor of these two characters falling in love, that despite this very modern kind of bureaucratic society, which is represented in some ways by the minimalist music, this very florid longing can kind of emerge through it. And stylistically, that's the troubadour music. And my other hope is that that ties the story to other traditions of longing and forbidden love and other ideas like that that have been in music for many centuries.
All three of you were here when Fellow Travelers was workshopped at Opera Fusion New Works. So what changes have been wrought? Kevin, do you want to take that one?
Well, it was an extraordinary workshop we had here about a year and a half ago. And the structure of the pieces remained pretty much the same. We cut a character. We tightened up certain things, rewrote some language in certain arias. But it really went even more in a theatrical direction, I would say. The two Gregs, Gregory and Greg here, write with such a keen sense of theatricality, overlapping scenes and lots of momentum and action. It feels like a real piece of theater set to music, of course. And so we went even more in that direction of overlapping scenes. How does one thing tie into the next thing? How do we make transitions happen? And really just focusing in on the characters and clarifying the drama. So there were some small changes that we made since then, but the overall structure remains intact. Would you boys agree?
Yes. I definitely agree, yeah. I find sometimes when you're writing a piece, you set out to write something and then you do a workshop. And once you hear it and your real people are doing it and it's in three dimensions, then the piece sort of tells you what it needs and what it is. And so we had this extraordinary workshop through Opera Fusion, and then we were able to sort of pinpoint specific themes and scenes that we really liked, and we were able to just kind of hone things, which we're continuing to do.
And you've made this a chamber opera. It's in a small theater. It has a very small ensemble. What motivated you to make it that kind of a size as opposed to a larger opera with a larger orchestral forces and so on.
Well, a lot of the libretto, it's very speech-like setting of a lot of the sort of conversations between characters. And I think that the type of stylistic, the musical styles in the piece too, really lends itself to voices that might sing Baroque music, for example. And so the hall that we're in, you know, it looks like a, you know, a little Baroque theater in a way. So the scale of it, I think, is important that we understand that we can see the characters' faces and that we can be, you know, what got me into opera was being able to really feel like I was in the same space with a singer and feel the power of that voice in close proximity. And I think that I've always loved chamber opera for that reason. That being said, we do have, you know, a wonderful orchestra. So
there are 17 in the orchestra?
There's 17, right?
It's a pretty good size.
Yeah, it's enough to sort of go both toward the more intimate chamber world and yet also have a really beautiful orchestral sound with, of course, wonderful players here.
And not only is this a world premiere, Maestro Mark Gibson is making his debut with the Cincinnati Opera, and he's been with Fellow Travelers since the beginning. So how has it been to work with him on that?
Maestro is wonderful. Mark Gibson, he's a great collaborator. We work completely in tandem to bring the dramatic life of the story to the forefront. It's been a great experience. In fact, there are several members of the cast and ensemble that were part of the original workshop, and it was exciting when we were here before. People would stop in to listen for 5 minutes, and then an hour later, everybody was still there. And by the end of the workshop, the company said, why don't we present this in a couple of years? And we leapt at the opportunity. And it's been wonderful to collaborate with Mark and with CCM on this entire project.
And who are some of the singers who have been with it since the beginning?
Well, one of our two main leads, Joseph Latanzi, who plays Hawkins Fuller, was part of the original workshop. Talia, one of the other great sopranos, is playing a different role, but she was part of it. Yeah. Talia Lieberman and Marcus Shields, who played Tim before. He's now a baritone. He's my assistant director. So a lot of it has stayed right in the family. It's been great.
How did this cast of young singers respond to the subject matter and working with never-before-performed material? And did they have any knowledge of the history behind the story?
I think they had different degrees of knowledge about, you know, what was going on with McCarthy and in the 50s, but I think they could all relate on some level to the idea of not fitting in or being in a place where you can't be truthful and how stifling that is, either truthful with your parents or with your friends or your teachers. I think that's the wonderful thing about opera and about the and maybe about storytelling in general is that we insert ourselves and we find these things that connect to our lives. And we had one really wonderful day where we sat around in a circle and talked about what were the specific connections to this piece. And there was just a real range of responses. But, you know, humanity was at the core of everyone.
And Kevin, I'd like to ask you, too, when you're directing an opera for which there is no precedent, that gives you a lot of freedom, doesn't it?
Oh, I love it. Directing new work is my passion. I do the canonical pieces occasionally, and I love doing that too. But bringing a story to life for the first time, especially a story like this that has not been told on stage or in music. And our good friend Sterling Zinsmeyer brought this project to us when he found the novel. And as soon as I read it, I thought, this is going to be so theatrical and so cinematic. And bringing it to life has been a real thrill. We came right from rehearsal before this interview, and we were routining transitions, so things are moving all night long. It feels like a film, and that it's so action-packed, and even though it's a very intimate human story, there's a lot of motion to it. So routining all of that has been such a joy. To animate it for the very first time is what I live for.
Well, in March, selections from the opera were presented at National Sawdust. How was the response to that?
It was a great response. It really was. I felt the excitement in the room. It felt like people were really enthusiastic, and I felt couldn't wait to hear more. So
yeah, it was a real thrill. You know, we're all from New York, so it was exciting to be able to share that piece with the New York audience and to really hear our cast for the first time, the assembled cast, and get a chance to sort of throw it out there before we came here and put it on stage.
Well, during the production and the creative processes, what have been some of the biggest surprises?
For me, it has been just how personal this material is for me and what an important story it is to tell. We're in tears a lot in rehearsal. It makes it sound like we're having a therapy session or something. It's not like that, but the material is so moving, and it's a story that really means something, at least to me personally, and I know it for all of us. So it creeps up on you what these two distinguished writers at the table with me have done to animate this story. And to really move audiences, it surprises me every single day.
And one thing about this story that I think is fascinating is when you're in that sort of situation where you can't be on it, you have people persecuting, you know, you literally have a committee that's investigating whether or not you've been hanging out at the wrong bars, whether you might be a homosexual and that kind of thing. What that does to a psyche, the bonds that get formed and the paranoia and all kinds of things, I just haven't seen that in a lot of stories. And that's been fascinating to me to explore through this process.
I'll say, you know, one of the exciting things about opera is working with directors, but being able to see over the last 10 days, Kevin really have his, you know, strong view of the opera realized on stage. And for me, it's particularly exciting how polyphonic it is with the layered scenes and the ways in which things are moving. And this has been exciting because, of course, Greg and I have been, you know, writing this piece, and the director has to wait till, you know, the production to really work his magic. So that's been not a surprise, but a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much, librettist Greg Pierce, composer Gregory Spears, and director Kevin Newberry. Fellow Travelers runs through July the 10th in the Aronoff Center's Jarson Kaplan Theater. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein. Thank you.